Attention, please.
Come on over, baby. Whole lot of shaking going on.
This is KPTZ's new weekly feature program, giving voice to upcoming events and campaigns of interest to the listening community. This is Chris Bricker, and today we'll bring you our monthly report from our working waterfront on Attention, Please.
Hello, Chris. Today, we are here in the boatyard, the epicenter of boats and marine trades, hundreds of shipwrights, mechanics, riggers, fishermen, canvas workers, and scores more who are making their living right here on our local waterfront. You can walk the boatyard virtually any day and savor the sights and sounds of that work. You might be able to hear the buzzing saws and sanders, sawdust and varnish fumes, just a tiny bit of that. Shipwrights and boat owners in a problem-solving mode. In the past few decades, these trades have become essential to the port towns and economy and ambiance. Centered at Boathaven and Point Hudson, in the midst of downtown, this vibrant industry was made possible by a remarkable combination of public money, private initiative, and individual talent. It is the month of March, spring here in the boatyard. We've been sitting at about 100% capacity. Our marine trades are busy in the boatyard. We get to walk through and interview a few.
Hello, I'm Amanda. nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, Amanda. Where have you been or where are you going, or do you know?
4 years ago, we started our trip from Belgium in Europe. And we sailed all the way to arrive in Port Hudson. We did sail the Northwest Passage.
You did?
Yeah. Last summer, it was. Yeah.
We feel lucky to be able to cross this passage because of the ice. We were stuck the first time, so we tried two times, like most of the boats in 2018. But 2019 was the right year.
The right year.
Yeah.
Also before COVID. Because now the passage is closed until February 2022. So yeah, the next step is to go to the warm.
And where is warm for you?
Not so far. It's maybe start from in San Francisco and Mexico. And then the French Polynesia. We're gonna cross the Pacific to join the Polynesia and then Indonesia, maybe. And then we hope we can do a North Pacific tour. So going up to Japan, Kamchatka, and back to Alaska.
Robin, how long have you two been together?
Just 1 year before we left from Belgium. So it's 5 years now.
Almost.
Yeah.
Nothing like a sailboat to get acquainted, eh?
Right.
Yeah, that's right.
What was the biggest event that happened to you, either good or bad, while you were out sailing this past year?
Actually, we have some bad, but it turned out very quickly as good. You know, like
the thing is to have the positive attitude, and we forgot quickly the bad things to just preserve the good things.
And there's always solution and never problems. This is how we live, how we believe, and how we can actually continue our journey, and hopefully by encountering the best.
But of course, it's not, I think, easy to do it. But as soon as you go to something new, you will be able to discover something easy at the end. So you turn fast to something not completely impossible to do.
It's the one thing about the sea is that it really teaches you a lot of lessons in life about not to make a pun, but rolling with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And we actually live day by day. It's difficult to make plans, even what we hope to go to the warm, but maybe we're gonna stay here, or hopefully by the time Canada will open and we can also discover British Columbia, because we really like the north.
For sure, Port Townsend, it's an attractive place, and
yes,
it's hard to leave this place after 6 months.
Yeah.
And yeah, a lot of people are there since 30 years because they were here for a year and they never left.
Yeah.
Not a bad place to stay for a while.
We could find our living here for easily. Yeah.
Yeah, people are friendly, and the weather is perfect. There is some wind to sail. We love it.
Thank you two, for taking some time. I know you've done a lot of work so far, and you have some more work to do.
Yeah, hopefully by end of March we can enjoy sailing again.
How do you find working in the boatyard?
Oh, so in the Northwest Passage, we met Olivier, who live in Port Adlock, just nearby. And he said that's probably the most better yard on the West Coast to do your
the
own work.
The best yard,
he said. It's probably right.
Yeah, the luck, we find here everything. Every shop, every people can work in steel boat, wood boat, electricity, engine, diesel. If we need anything, we can find anything here, and this is very precious.
I was going to ask you if you had met Olivier. That's where you met him, on the Northwest Passage.
We actually met him because the first year in 2018, we were stuck by the ice, and we were stuck at the same place. So for 12 days, we exchanged a lot of information, and we became friends forever.
Like the three quarter of the fleet was at the same small village to have the connection of internet and to have some food to eat.
He told me that, and it's nice to put faces to the people that he talked about.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
That's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're standing here under the Polaris, a longliner, and I'm going to have Brad from the Shipwrights Co-op explain a little bit about this boat, why it's here, what they're doing on it, how long it's been coming here.
Yeah, this is actually the first time Polaris has been hauled out with us. She was built in 1913, and some of the yards in Seattle, unfortunately, are seeing a lot of their shipwrights retire. They're corkers, shipwrights, metal workers, and being a place where it's really expensive to live, I can only imagine that younger shipwrights aren't coming in and starting at entry-level wages in Seattle and continuing on the trade. So unfortunately, we're kind of reaping the benefits of some other shop's demise, which is not a good place to be, but I know that these boats still are going to need to have work done to be able to continue in the future. She was built in 1913. She long lines for halibut and black cod. She has 250,000 pounds of halibut quota and 80,000 pounds of black cod. I think he said he has permits in every area in Alaska except the northernmost region. He's owned the boat since 1989 with his partner Ralph. So the two of them have been in it for a long time, and his nephew Brian has taken the helm this year. He's been on the boat for about 10 years.
This is a wooden boat?
It is. It's a halibut schooner. There's a couple of really old schooners down there. There's another one called Seymour that was 1913. The Vancey. The Vancey and the Polaris were built side by side, double sawn frame. And the story is they were built out of the same tree. And Vancey is framed with the outside of the tree, the outside wood, when they laid down the flitch, and Polaris got the inside. So the boats, basically, they can nest inside one another, and Polaris is the smaller of the two. But that just gives you a sense of the size of the trees and the old growth fir that they used to be made out of back in the day.
That's just totally amazing.
Oh, it blows my mind to think that an 83-foot boat could be framed out of one tree, let alone two boats 85 feet long framed out of one tree.
So when the new owners took this boat over, was there a lot of renovation involved? Do you know the history?
So from what I understand, it seems as though the boat has been fairly well maintained through its existence. Wade and Ralph have really continued on with the maintenance of this boat. And so I try to tell people in general that wooden boats, they can continue on as long as you take a little bit of maintenance over time. And if you see a problem, a deck leak, a whole plank that needs to be replaced, should do it then. Because the longer you wait, the more extensive the problems down the line.
And Brad, you know, your comments about the importance of a working waterfront, what it means is that the craftsmen need to be able to live where they work. We think that's really important, and that's a big consideration for here at Port Townsend, because this is one of the best boatyards around.
Yeah, and to be quite honest, I've been here about 16 years now, and watching the increasing housing prices and market in Port Townsend has made it more and more difficult for entry-level shipwrights, even in Port Townsend, to live here. So a lot of our folks that work for us now live in Quilcene or Port Hadlock or Irondale, and they're a little bit farther away, and they drive into work. I'd like to think that it was easy for people to just live right here in town, but that's not quite the case anymore.
A network of people that are trying to come up with housing solutions is really important, and to convince sellers, for example, that they don't necessarily need to bank the gold as much as work toward the common good.
It'd be great if that was everyone's philosophy in life, but I don't necessarily think that that's always the case. And unfortunately, you know, just it seems like there's more and more folks who are able to have a full price cash offer in hand, ready to go when something comes up here. And I mean, that's just the nature of our community here. It's bound to happen, and it's going to continue to happen that way.
Brad, what's your history with the co-op?
I worked at a neighboring business for 10 years and learned quite a bit there. I came over here with the intention of, which I stated at the time, that I wanted to come over to the co-op with the intention of maybe becoming a member someday. Also, I talked with Chris Chase, who was kind of getting ready to start the Western Flyer project. He asked me if I would be interested in working on the project, and I was definitely on board with that. So unfortunately, it took a very long time for that project to get off the ground. So by the time it actually started having work done on it, I had become a member, and there were already two members kind of leading up that project. My business partners, Tim Lee and Pete Rust, are behind that. So, and it's fine because now I have more responsibility, and I'm getting to kind of find maybe not always new boats to work on, but you know, people call up with inquiries and we all sit in an office and people raise their hand if they're applicable to their skill set, and yeah, sure, I'll call that one. And so this one just happened to kind of come through, and I talked to him, and here he is. So I'm hoping, and this is leading to other projects in the future and other boats, so we all kind of end up finding our core group of return repeat customers that we work for. And if we need to help one another and somebody's too busy, we try to support each other in that way. So I really found it to be a great place to be.
Novel idea, cooperation, cooperative. You know, it's a big word and it means a lot. Where do you live right now, Brad?
I actually live in Cape George. I was fortunate enough to buy a house out there 10 years ago, and it's a 1,000-square-foot cabin. And my wife and I have put a bunch of work into it, and now it's really quite an awesome place to be. Just the view alone out there is very fortunate every single day. So.
Brad Siemens from the Shipwrights Co-op, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
for sure.
Congratulations on 40 years.
Yeah.
For the co-op.
Yeah, it feels pretty good, and we're, you know, we just expanded and bought Carol Hossie Sail Loft, and yeah, we're trying to keep as diverse as we can, because we realize that anything we can do to keep diversity in our company is going to continue to see us grow and you know, and keep providing jobs to the community.
I'd like to introduce Eric Falstrom. Dylan, are you working with Haven?
We all do our own thing.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're all independent.
Tell us how often this boat comes to Port Townsend. It lives here in Port Townsend, so it gets hauled out.
I don't think he comes out every year. But he does. He's done I think he was saying about four big projects. He bought it in 88, and it was, you know, one of many boats he had before that. It's old. I want to say it's
102 or 3 or 4, over 100 years old.
He's had different generations of people that work down here work on this thing. You know, I mean, names of people that are dead, names of people that don't live here anymore. And he's seen Dave Thompson, you know, who's been down here for 40 years. He saw Dave Thompson coming up, learning how to work on boats in Seattle. And he worked on this thing in Seattle. And then Dave moved over here and ended up working on it here too. But, so it's got quite a history here with all the independent people that work down here.
Right. And this is a Saner, goes up to Alaska.
Yeah.
So tell us what you know about the history of the boat.
Not much, except that it's fished exclusively. It's been working since it was born. Marty's been sailing it since the 80s.
This boat has been sitting here with, it looks like, some considerable maintenance. And what are your projections about how far you're going to get and when?
This project is pretty small compared to what he's done over the years, you know. I mean, he's done, I think when Dave Thompson first started working around here, one of the first big projects he did was, you know, they reframed and replanked most of the hull. So that was 30 years ago. You know, I wasn't there. I'm just recalling the details people told me. So, details Marty told me, which is fun to listen to him tell stories about the boat. He's got a lot of good stories.
What kind of work are you doing on it now?
Let's see. He hauled out because the flybridge was pretty rotten, and he wanted a new flybridge. So, flybridge, and he had ended up on the grid in a funky position and ended up bending the rudder shoe. So we ended up, you know, rebuilding that whole thing, taking the whole rudder tube out and rebedding that. It was a pretty small job, you know, started getting him some new hydraulics and this and that. And he decided to get Antonio involved in designing a top house. And Maya did the upholstery in there. He started just making it super sweet. Eric, he got doing a new galley, fixing the floor. And, you know, so this project is, he's making it super nice for himself and dialing it in again.
So I'm looking at the wood. What was this made of originally? What, two trees?
A lot of trees. he got the logs that they replanked this with. So he got it milled out in Port Angeles. So that would have been in the 80s.
So you guys have been working in the trades for how long?
7 years.
And how did you end up doing this?
I went to a boat school and then my girlfriend moved to this town, so here I am.
Nice. How about you?
I came here when I was 19, and I'm 35, and it was just around the boats. It was just something that I honestly had no interest in it, and then I went to Alaska and started working around boats and got pretty intrigued, and somebody was like, you should go to the boat school down in Port Townsend. I was like, I used to live there. Go back and go to school. Yeah, 2011, started working on boats. So.
Eric Fulstrom.
Dylan McKay.
Eric and Dylan, thank you for taking the time. I know you got a big project going on here, and we appreciate your taking a few minutes to speak with us.
Can we applaud ourselves?
Yeah. Yay!
McKay? That's how you say your name?
I have no idea. It's Scottish.
I thought it was McKay.
That's okay. Everybody thinks that.
Yeah.
That's what you told me.
Yeah, that's what you told me. McKay.
Today's guide on the working waterfront was Port Commissioner Pam Petranek. Lukey's Boat was performed by Mark Hiscock, Patrick Moran, Chris Andrews, and Mike Kinsella. Thanks for listening.